Good morning. It's good to see you. You kneel with us as we pray up here.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day outside. Thank you that we all get to be here at Deep Bible Study. Please help us to gain something from it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to learn a lot. Help us to have a good day today. Do many things to the glory of you. And thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Hannah. Guten Morgen.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How would I say it in Indonesian? Help me out. How do I say good morning in Indonesian? Okay. Selamat pagi. Glad you're here this morning. Thank you, sir. I would like to tell you a story while our fearless keepers of the faith hand out some handouts for us, if you are willing. Thank you, Tom. And we can just take two people on each side. Thank you, White, and split that one. Take that, split that. Thank you. I was in the beautiful state of Maryland, and we were co-quartering in a city called Baltimore. And we had a very big co-quarter team. There was 30 of us with 3 leaders. Not wise, am I right? Mr. Pruitt's not going to say anything. Thank you, sir. And we were co-quartering, and I was running a 15-passenger van with myself plus 15 people. Don't do the math. And we were going place to place, and as I finished up one day, I happened to be the accountant for the program, and I asked the young man who was with, one of the young men, how was your day today? And he said, the Lord blessed, Brother Holtree. I said, good. Glad to hear that. At the end of the day, I counted up all the sheets, and as I looked at his total sheet, here's what I saw. 0000000. And I know that's very hard to get that many zeros in one day, especially if you spent 8 hours doing it. And so I was rather nervous, and I went to him, and he said, it's okay, it was just a difficult day. But the Lord blessed anyhow. I said, okay. So the next day, we went out. And at the end of the day, I got his total sheet, and you know what I saw? 0000000. That was very difficult, because at that point, God told me, Chuck, there is something you should have been doing from the very beginning. What would that be? Pray. You got it. You should be praying and asking for me for wisdom to know how to deal with this young man, and also to know what is needed for this city of Baltimore. Thank you, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. And so that next day, as we went out, I dropped him off on the street first. And as he got out of the vehicle, I turned to everyone else and said, let's pray for our friend. I won't tell you his name. Are you needing some?
Nope.
Here we go. Let's pray for our friend. And so as he got out of the vehicle, we all prayed for him. How many of us were in the van praying? Minus one. That's right. So we had 14 people plus me praying for him. So there's 15. And so we are praying. And one person said, let's pray specifically that he gets a great controversy out on this street. I said, okay. So we prayed specifically for him to get a what? Great controversy out on that street. I dropped everyone else off. It took me a while to do it. About 45 minutes later, I was coming back towards him, and I heard this call come over my radio, Mobile One, I need bread. What does that mean?
Books.
Yes, I sold books. I was very excited. I drove quickly to where he was at, and he said, I said, what do you need? He goes, 2 great controversies. And I remember thinking, oh, foolish man that I am, how much God wanted to pour out a blessing. It's not simply because of that. There's a lot of factors that are involved. But when we prayed as a team, God was able or did a miracle on our behalf. He had books consistently well for the rest of the summer. But I think for me, it helped me to realize what God wants to do. We're going to be looking at prayer a little bit today, because prayer is part of the armor. Now, is this part of the armor? Yes, what does this symbolize? This is the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does this symbolize?
Righteousness.
What does this symbolize? What does this symbolize? The Bible. What does this symbolize? Faith. Okay. What does this symbolize? Truth. And I'm missing something. What is it?
Prayer.
You notice prayer is not necessarily given a specific weapon. It's just there. How much? Look at verse 18. And you could probably say, can you say verse 18 by memory yet? Some of you can say it, okay. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What word just keeps coming back over and over? All, and always. So, we're going to come back to that. You all have your piece of paper? Let's look at the front of our paper today. We are looking at topical studies. Now, topical studies, where you take a specific topic, like the subject of prayer, or victory over sin, righteousness by faith, these are some of the ones that we're looking at, armor of God, and you study what the whole Bible says on it. Why is this helpful? I'd like someone to turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, and we are going to look at verse 10. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10. And whoever finds it raises their hand and speaks in a loud voice. Yes, ma'am.
For precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little.
Yes. I should have read the context of that, but I'm really glad that you read verse 10 so well. You know what it says in verse 9? It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And then he goes through and explains this. Those who study precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Letting the whole Bible speak on a certain subject. Why? Because who wrote the Bible? We looked at this yesterday. It was God via holy men of old. So let's look at our next point here. Is it possible to read one text and slightly misunderstand it?
Yes.
Are you sure? So someone could read a text and say something like, can I pick a text? Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. I'm going to read this text, and I'll tell you what some people say it says. And this is what they get from reading, and I could see where they can get it from a little bit if they only took one text. Luke chapter 23 and what verse?
43.
Very good. Are you reading the notes? I could tell. It says in verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, who is he speaking to?
The
thief on the cross. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. See, you go to heaven when you die. Right? I heard this, and then I saw no.
No, sir.
No. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that, Jerry. Yes, ma'am.
The comma should be before today, not after. No, the comma should be right after today.
Hmm.
Because Jesus is actually saying, I tell you today,
Is there any other place, and thank you, appreciate that, ma'am. Is there any other place in the Bible that tells me what happens when a person dies? Because if I want to study this as a topic, I want to see what the whole Bible says on the subject. And you're saying, Chuck, I already mastered this. I already know it. Okay, good. Don't look at your sheet. Now everyone wants to look at your sheet, right? Don't look at your sheet. And someone help me out. Prove to me from the Bible what takes place when a person dies. You ready? Go. Yes.
Ecclesiastes 9:5.
Okay, what's it say? The living know that they shall
die.
Okay, good. Give me another text. Someone raise your hand. Give me another text. Oh. Well, right now we got one text that says this and one text that says this. How do I know which one I'm supposed to go with? And I know that they're not disagreeing. Yes, Mr. Caleb. Sorry? And to dust he shall return. That's in Genesis chapter 3. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Job 21:32.
Okay, and what does it say? That the dead are in the graves. It's a good place for them to be. Yes. We love them and they're waiting peacefully for a resurrection. Amen? But you don't have to prove that to me yet, so maybe I shouldn't say that. Sorry. Yes.
Ecclesiastes
12:7, which says,
then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
Oh, so you do go to heaven when you die. Thank you, Jesse. I appreciated that. Yes.
Psalm 146:4. His breath goes forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish.
His thoughts perish. So there's a spirit that goes back, but there's no thoughts. Now I'm a little bit more confused. I need some more help. Yes, ma'am.
The dead praise not the Lord either, any that go down into silence.
And that's in Isaiah 38?
No. Psalm
115:17. Psalm
115:17.
Okay, so there's no thoughts and there's no praise. Okay. Yes, sir. The story of Lazarus, yes. You got it. John 11, very good. What does the story of Lazarus tell me about when a person died? He was in the grave 4 days and he still rose up. Did he come back down from heaven to go in the grave and come back out? How do you know? You know what it said? Jesus says something very interesting when he says Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come down, right? What's he say? Lazarus, come forth or come out. That's right. Okay. Okay. Thank you for helping, Mr. Joshua.
The other story of Lazarus, where the rich man went to hell and the poor man was in Abraham's bosom.
So you're just doing this to add some more excitement, huh? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. So now we have a rich man in Abraham in hell and a poor man in Abraham's bosom. Now I'm confused.
That was a parable.
Oh, that's a parable.
Yeah,
okay. I'm glad that you all study the Bible. So you're not confused, right? Okay, I've got so many hands. Starting this way and go this way. 1, 2, 3. Yes. 10. So what's happening when a person's dead? They are
sleeping,
waiting for resurrection. Okay.
Jesus, when he arose from the dead, he said he had ascended to his Father. So if he would have gone to heaven that day, as some people say this verse says, then those two verses would be contradicting themselves because he said, you can't touch me because I haven't yet ascended.
I appreciate you sharing that. Where's that from? I do. That's why I picked it on purpose. Okay. John chapter 20. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, Mr. Pruitt.
Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sins, it shall die.
The soul dies. Wow. Thank you, sir. You've been waiting faithfully, sir.
After Jesus said that only Jesus died and not the two other people, right? Because they broke the legs of the other two, so they actually even died at him.
Okay, so you're helping us explain Luke chapter 23. Thank you. Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 15:15, it says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, continue on to 1 Corinthians 15. It's powerful. It talks about a resurrection. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
What about the second death? I have one
on that. Oh, can we not go there right now? Thank you. We're having plenty of fun with this one. Thank you. Yes, Derek.
Malachi 4:1.
You're looking at the death of the wicked, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. You better stop.
Genesis 2:17. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then here in Genesis 3:4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
So what are you telling me? I hear it very clearly, but I want you to restate it in other words so everyone else can get it.
God said that you will die, and the devil said you will not die.
So who historically has told the truth?
God.
So who can we believe?
God.
So what happens when you sin? Okay, thank you. We're gonna finish with that one. There is so much more, but based upon the weight of evidence, and there's a lot of evidence out here, we can clearly see that when a person dies, they're asleep and awaiting a resurrection. And that's the importance of a topical study. We could talk about the state of the dead for the next 30 minutes, I'm sure. But that's the importance of a topical study, being able to see what all the Bible says in one subject. People take things out of context a lot. I need someone who's big and strong. Yeah, there's a lot of confident, big and strong men over here. Right on. Mr. Kyle. This Kyle. The one I'm pointing at. You're the only one I'm pointing at. Yes, here. So we have our big and strong man coming up here. And, you ready? Okay. Could you stand very firmly on 2 feet facing the gentleman? Okay. Does he look pretty imposing?
No.
Yes. The answer is yes. Okay. So I'm going to push against you, and I would like you to stop me from knocking you over. Yes. Make sure you can get down a little bit if you need to. That's right. Okay. Okay. Very, very strong. Okay? He has got at least 2 feet down. Would you say that? I'm going to ask him to lift up one. You pick which one you would like to lift up. Okay? I didn't even touch him. Just the look of me. It's amazing. Thank you so much, Kyle. You can go back to your seat. When you use just one scripture to prove a point, you're about as unstable as Kyle was. But the more scripture you have to prove something, to understand it, the more solid you are, just like Kyle was very solid with 2 feet. And that's what we want to be when we study the Bible. We want to see what the whole Bible says on the subject. It's written by the Holy Spirit, and He can teach us many things. All right. What we're going to do is see what the whole Bible says on the subject of prayer. We're going to break up into our groups. We'll spend about 10, 12 minutes. Then we're going to come back. In our last 15 minutes, we have some stories and some illustrations to help tie some things in, okay? So go ahead. On the back side, you're going to be doing the practice section and seeing what each of the following teach you about victorious prayer. God bless you. Happy studying. Okay, we're just going to do a quick review as you're coming in. And I think you will find this interesting, I hope. When you are putting on armor, how much armor are we supposed to put on? The whole armor. So, is this important?
Yes,
sir. Is this important?
Yes.
Good. You need everything. So not just prayer, not just Bible study, although you want all prayer, and not just salvation. You also need to have righteousness and faith, everything put together. Now, where does the armor come from? How do you know that? It's called the armor of God. What are you supposed to do with the armor? Put it on or take it. Summer, where are you at? Miss Summer. Hi, please. Summer is going to have this put on. Are you ready, ma'am?
Oh.
Got it? Yes. So, is this her armor?
No.
But could it protect her once she buttons it up? Yes, it'd be very helpful, wouldn't it? You want the helmet too? Okay. So now we are completely... that would be helpful, wasn't it?
No.
Where did she get it from? Who put it on?
You.
I did kind of, but she did, right? But if it was hers, would it be helpful? Now, this is what hers looks like. Can I take this? Okay. And turn around. Grab this. Thank you. Now, Summer's standing here. Is she as safe now as she was before?
No.
No, not at all. It's kind of like this. Here, Summer. our words are like plastic knives in comparison to machetes when this is God's word. There is no comparison. If you were stuck in the wilderness, my dear wilderness survival friends, right? Which one would you prefer, the plastic knife or this? I know you would prefer this. I understand. Thank you, Summer. We want God's armor, and it needs to be put on us. So we ask God for his armor. It's not our trialing, etc. Okay. I'd like to share a little bit of a story with you about prayer. I remember doing something a lot when I was younger, and it was called running away from home. Yeah. Maybe none of you have ever done that. I hope you haven't. But I've done it a couple times. And when I ran away from home, it was because I was so frustrated what was taking place at my house. My mom and I did not get along. We had a very difficult relationship. And so I would try to get away from it, and I would run away. I always went home again. You know why I went home? I was hungry, that's right. You've heard this story. But when I was out there in the woods, laying on the ground, I'd be crying and praying, God, why did you put me in this family? Why? Can't you just help solve my problem? Couldn't you just help my parents get a divorce so I don't have to live with my mom anymore? These are the kinds of things that I pray for. Are you glad sometimes that God doesn't answer your prayers? And this was the kind of praying that I did. Then I got to academy, and I would pray for things like, help me to sit next to so-and-so. You know, the weird prayers that we pray, is that right? Sometimes we pray really interesting. And God sometimes just didn't answer prayers the way I wanted him to answer them. Does that mean he wasn't listening? There's many times when God is listening, but he is silent. Doesn't mean he's not acting. He's just simply silent. There may be times when you pray and you wonder, why, God, are you not responding to me? And God is, but he's just being quiet. It's not a bad thing that happened. By the time I got to college, I was praying for other things. I was praying for money. You ever pray for money? I pray for money. I need help. I'm trying to work my way through college. And I can't do this, and there's no one who can help me, and I don't have any rich relatives. How am I going to survive? You know, my parents can't pay my way through. How am I going to make it? And I remember praying, saying, God, I need money. You know, there's a story. We were on a choir, and we were about to do a recording, and we needed to raise money to do the recording. It costs, some of you here I know have background in doing recordings. And it cost, at that time, about $5,000 or $6,000 to do a recording and print about 500 CDs. So we were thinking, where are we going to get the money? We don't have the money. Where's it going to come from? And one person said, I will give you all the money, and I own 90% of the CD. And we said, we don't like that deal. So we started thinking, what could we do? And that day, our whole choir knelt down and we prayed, God, please help. Help us. We want to use the sale of the CDs for your work, and we can't do that if someone else owns everything. Does that make sense? So we prayed, and someone in the choir prayed this. God, please, if it's your will that we go ahead and do take care of it ourselves, could you provide the money in the next 24 hours? Very specific prayer. Then we went home. Home for us was the dorm. We're sitting back in the dorm, and we got a phone call from the choir director. She said, you will never believe it. I opened up my mail tonight, after I got home from choir practice. In the mail, there was a check for $5,000 saying, use it however you would like. Did God answer our prayer? Absolutely. And that person lived on the other side of the world, and they had sent it snail mail. So it took a long time to get to where we were at. God heard our prayer and answered it. That same time, and where was that? College. I was a student teacher, and we took a group of academy students. We went out on a camping trip into the woods, and we played a game at night, one night, called sardines. And we refused to use flashlights, refused to do anything, and we were playing in roughly 20, at least 10 acres of ground at night in the woods. And so that night, as I came in, all of us came back together. We were about to go to our separate sides of camp to go to sleep. I looked at my wrist, and my watch was gone. It wasn't there. My watch was gone. And one of my young students said, "Mr. Holtree, let's go find it right now." And I said, "It's late. It's dark. Don't worry about it." "No, no, we can pray." I said, "Remind me tomorrow morning." You know why I said that? Because I didn't have faith. Didn't have it. "Remind me tomorrow morning." I was hoping he would forget. The next morning, I woke up. We started packing up. We were ready to leave camp. And he said, "Mr. Holtree, you forgot." I was like, "Yeah." "We need to pray that you find your watch." I said, "Okay. But could you hold on just a minute? I need to go to my tent and get something." And I remember walking into my tent, zipping it closed and saying, "God, I don't think you care about my watch. But this young man thinks you do. Would you please answer for his sake?" That's not positive faith, is it? But you know, God heard the prayer of that young man. We went out and we walked, there's about 10 of us, up through the woods looking for it. And I was seeing nothing. No one was finding anything. And I realized I need to find this somehow for his sake. You see that I'm all worried about him when really I don't have faith and he does. I knelt down and again prayed, "God, please help me to find this watch." I opened up my eyes, stood up, and at my feet I found it. Did God impress me to pray there? Maybe. Did God put it there while I was praying? Maybe. But did God bring it to me? Yes. And I learned that God cares about us. Yes, there's some prayers that no matter how much I prayed for money to make my way through college, I didn't get it. I prayed for a car because I was driving beaters and everyone else had these nice cars. God was silent, and sometimes I thought he didn't care. But I want to emphasize to you, even if God is silent, he always cares. He always cares about you. You are important. Your prayers. When you, like I did, some of you may cry while you pray because you can't stand in what you're living in or with. Some of you are crying because you want something so bad. And God's saying, "No, this isn't time for you to have it. And it doesn't make sense." I would like you to know that if there's one part of the armor that's very important, it's praying always with all prayer. It doesn't say studying always, does it? Does it say ministering always?
No.
What else does it not say? Preaching always? Does it say preaching always? No. Does it say singing always?
No.
But what does it say? Praying always. You can pray. In the middle of camp, when no one else is paying attention, you could pray. In your own mind, quietly, while your eyes are wide open and you're working, you can pray like Nehemiah did. Maybe sometime in the morning when you're alone, you can kneel down like Daniel and pray. But you can pray always, and God hears your prayer. Sometimes he's silent. But there's a God who cares about you. He cares about me. Yesterday, I asked you, in the next 24 hours, if you'd be willing to somehow fall at the feet of Jesus someplace and acknowledge him as Lord of your life. Some of you probably did. I'm hoping that most of you did. But today I've got a challenge for you, another one. As you go through this day of camp, another fun day of camp with all kinds of exciting things, what are in a survival tonight, right? Mm-hmm. Pray always. Even when you're out in your outreach class or your life skill class, your recreation class, be praying. And here's a challenge to pray specifically that God will do with you what he wants to do. Praying that God will do with you what he wants you to do. I'm willing to pray that prayer today. I need to. Anyone else want to pray it with me? God, do with me what you want to do. Let's stand up. We'll close this section. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are asking that you draw close to us today. As we're in our recreation class or outreach class, life skill class or meals, remind us that you want to talk to us. And that even though you're silent, it doesn't mean you're not next to us, close to us, and loving us. Help us to enjoy our friendship with you today. Bless each one of my friends here. Bless me. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.